Hi, everybody. Good evening. And it's Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. Christmas is just around the corner. And here we all are. So just looking forward to the next hour or so of chat. Don't know that we limit ourselves, mind you, but we will do as we want to do. And I've got all my special guests with me this evening. So I've got all the way from the USA, we've got City Troll, a.k.a. my friend Paddy. Hi, Paddy.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Yes, it's good to hear you, Paddy. We've also got Ed joining us as well. Hello, Ed.
Hi, David. Hello, everyone.
As always, your sound comes through crystal clear. And finally, we have Jed, who should be on the way, if he's not, a bit like Santa, actually, if he's not exactly down the chimney. So, yeah, so before we get into the chat, folks, just a few things I wanted to say, just to start off the show. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody who has been part of this over the last 6 months or so. We started humble beginnings, and it's been building and building and building. So, yeah, a very warm, a big thank you from me to all of you. So that's first thing to be said. Second thing to be said is, FYI, hit the heart button. Give that heart button a workout for the next hour, because it's good if you do that. I like to see hearts. And, of course, if you want to support the channel with some festive seasonal support, you know how to do that as well. I think you send, is it golden beans or something they send over here on Podbean, whatever it is, regardless. So here we are, folks, another Christmas, another year over almost, but we got plenty to talk about. And thanks you, Chris Davies, you're very kind. We've been doing the good fight here, fighting back against the insanity of just about everything, really. At this point, really, in the game, I can't believe how we're finishing 2021, because everything I forecast has come true, and I wish it wasn't. I really, really wish it wasn't, because then I'm panicking about what I think for 2022. But anyway, let's start the proceedings off, shall we? So Ed and City Troll, just waiting for Jed to join us. I think Jed's just joining us as we speak. And I wanted to bring you good news, because we all... Hi, Grantonio, by the way, one of our favourite patrons here on the live stream. Good to see you all the way from the Socialist Republic of Scotland. Bring you good news. Here's the good news. The good news is, it turns out that Omicron, which essentially is closing down the Western world, is about as deadly and as lethal as a mild cold. Yeah, mild cold. So let's give thanks for that. And I think Jed's just connected to us. Hi there, Jed.
Can you hear me, David?
I can hear you coming through loud and clear. Can you hear us all?
Yes, I can, yes. I'm just trying actually to use an app simulator on my desktop rather than my phone, but it doesn't seem to have worked, so I've had to revert back to my phone.
You see, that's the problem. You are trying new technology, Jed, and doesn't always work out the way you want. Hi, Leslie Butler, by the way. Good to see you. And Richie, good to see you as well. So anyway, so the good news is Omicron, it's a big nothing. So we can all relax and forget all about it, and everything's going to be fine. Ed, comments.
Well, what I found quite interesting and amusing almost about this was I put the radio on this morning. I was in the car for a little while, and the radio presenter said that there is an announcement from Savid Javid coming, and it looks like really good news that Omicron isn't as dangerous as Delta and previous variants, etc. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, we knew this 4 weeks ago. This isn't news, you know. It was presented as though this was some amazing announcement that we had today, that Omicron, and for the sort of normal public that kind of know what's going on. This wasn't news at all. So, you know, it made me think, are there actually swathes of people who haven't got a clue what's going on, including media and politicians? Or is everyone just partaking in this huge sort of deception? And you know what I mean? Are we being gaslighted along with this nonsense? Because, you know, the South African medics were saying a month ago, don't worry, guys, you're overreacting. So either we're completely, you know, xenophobic about medics from other countries, or the biggest gaslighted event ever has gone on for the last 4 weeks. So that was my thoughts.
well, Jed, can I bring you in? I wonder what you reckon to this whole business about Omicron being essentially a very, very mild variant of COVID-19, if it even is that. And yet, you know, we still seem to be having in Scotland and Wales, certainly here in Northern Ireland, we're under the jackboot. How does that work?
You mean Omicron, the new name for the common cold?
Yes, that one.
Yeah, because you get the sniffles, aches, headache, the cold. I was talking, as you know, David, my boys are home for Christmas, which is really nice. And my youngest, who has just spent a year over in Japan, who is double jabbed for his age group. And he was telling us that he had the original version, so the wild version.
That the China version?
He then got the Delta version.
Yeah.
And recently he's had, I nearly said the cold, Omicron version, and he's double jabbed. You know, I find it amazing how all the double jabs are the ones that are getting a common cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Paddy, can we bring you in here in this one? Because what's the view from across the pond on this deadly Omicron variant that turns out to be the common cold?
Well, it all depends on who you're talking to about the moronic variant. And it's basically just that, the moronic variant. It's, you know, the whole thing is this whole disease, this whole virus, number one, it's a man-made virus. Okay. But number two, this is not a plague. This is not a deadly virus. This virus has killed 800,000 people in the United States. Normally 600,000 people die from the flu. So it's not like this is like some major thing. There's no body cards. Now they got a new variant, which you always get variants of. And it's, oh my gosh, like Jed said, it's the sniffles, but we're going to shut everything down. And it really depends on in the United States where exactly you're standing. If you're standing in New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, or LA, San Francisco, you're basically under, you know, the same restrictions you are in London. Yeah. That they're trying to do in London. They're trying to do that here. Anywhere else in the United States, most 95% of people aren't even wearing a mask and care less. It's just an inconvenience.
Well, that's interesting to know. Chris Davey says, you had enough wine last night, Mr. Vance. I didn't have enough wine last night, Chris Davies. This was on my wine-fueled live stream I did last night. So, yeah. By the way, can I just say, guys, if anyone wants to come into the studio, if you want to chat to me or Jed or Ed or Patty, please just let me know and I can bring you into the studio. And we can all be part of this one. I'm just going to read out a few comments here. Grantonio says, is there anything more cringeworthy than people posting on social media that they've tested positive and they need to self-isolate? Well, actually, that's a good point, because I don't know, guys, if you've seen this, but yesterday in the UK, I thought I seen a stat that said that 1.6 million people had taken a test yesterday. I mean, Ed, that's incredible. That's I presume that's more. Yet again, we test ourselves more than the whole of the European Union combined. It's crazy.
Well, this has been the issue I've raised again and again since the start of this whole thing. And you're dead right. We do. We test more than the whole of the European Union combined and some. So naturally, it's going to look like we have high cases, which is the blunt instrument the media and the left batter Boris with about how, you know, the whole thing is a ridiculous self-fulfilling circle, isn't it? Of course, if you take lots and lots of tests, you're going to get more positive tests, not to mention false positives, which you've got to throw into the mix. I just want to quickly comment on what Paddy was saying before about different areas. I read an amazing stat that, I don't know if it was 43 or 47, but it's one of the 2% of Democrats believe that catching COVID is basically a death sentence. So, you know, we're kind of educated to know it's a 99.9 whatever percent chance, yeah, of, you know, survival. But actually, and this shows what a powerful job, I guess, the media and the sort of left-leaning media particularly have done on the Democrats, that nearly half of Democrats believe, you know, if you catch COVID, you're going to go to hospital and die. I mean, it's incredible, absolutely incredible.
But actually, Paddy, I mean, even worse than that, I think quite a few Democrats believe that Joe Biden's a legitimate president, and that's not the case either, is it?
No, he's, yeah, you know, that's part of my topic for today. Now, but you turn around, you look at this, you know, 99% of the people in the United States are getting, if you follow 99% of the mainstream media, is this is the Black Death, we're all going to die, and if you don't lock yourselves down and you don't, you know, and you don't submit, you're a murderer. And this is the biggest hype that has, and I don't, you know, it's reaching the point of hostility finally in the United States, which is both scary and also all about time, because, you know, after after Christmas and the holidays are over, I think you're going to see a major change in attitude of maybe not what reported and not from the administration, but from the pushback of the people.
Well, yeah. And just on that, Jed, do you see any evidence of a pushback here in the UK, perhaps England in particular? What do you think?
I do, actually. Yes, I do see a pushback now. I see certainly a pushback on not all, most now of GB News. There is a pushback. They are pushing back. They are asking the questions. They are now saying, look, the bottom line is, this is just a common cold. And I actually heard on one of the clips, I don't tend to watch the whole programs. I tend to watch the clips they put out on YouTube. And I did hear, you know, one of them comments that this is now just a cold. And yeah, maybe yeah, we should be encouraging people to get this for herd immunity.
Can I jump in here for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead, Paddy. Yep.
You know, I just want to say, you know, like I said, it's funny because, like, the other night, we actually, two nights now this in the last week, we've had President Biden basically come out and say that if you're unvaxxed, you're gonna suffer severe illness. You're going to die, and you're going to kill your family and all the emergency medical people working. He just told a third of the people of the United States that you're going to die and you deserve to die.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Paddy will come back to Biden, but here's an interesting stat guy to pick up, because I always love to follow evidence and follow data. And according to the latest ONS data, Ed, the triple jabbed are 4.5 times more likely to test positive for Omicron than the unvaccinated. And the double jabbed are 2.3 times more likely to have Omicron. I think, is that Joe Biden on the phone there? I can hear somebody's phone going off.
Yeah, it's mine. Let me just stop that. So go to someone else and come back to me, David.
Okay, well,
remember to mute, Ed.
So sorry about that one. Jed, maybe you can, maybe you're not surprised to discover that the triple jabbed are 4.5 times more likely to test positive for Omicron, double jabbed are 2.3 times more likely to have Omicron. Gosh, it's almost as if the best defense against Omicron is not to be jabbed.
Well, absolutely. And that's what the stats are now proving. You know, I listened to, again, it was a bit on GB News. I think it's one of the either weekend or nighttime presenters, and he was saying 90% of those in hospital are the unjabbed with COVID. No, actually, 2/3 of those in hospital are the jabbed with COVID. Right.
Yep.
And yep. as the stats have bore out over the past day or so, that something like, is it two-thirds of people actually get it while they're in hospital, so they've gone in for something else. So hospital is the one that's breeding the virus. It's, yeah, the hospital is where people are getting it.
Well,
because if two-thirds go in because they broke a leg or they're having an heart attack and then get COVID, then it's the hospital who is breeding COVID, not society, not the pubs, not hospitality, not your workmates, you know, not down the pub. It's none of that. It's all, David, I don't like swearing on your thing, but I don't think this word is too bad. They're talking bollocks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's worse than that. I think they're lying straight to us. The 90% figure quoted for those in ICU, 90%, and it's all young people. No, sorry. That's just factually incorrect. That's just lies. But I actually do think, Jed, just to your point about they get it in hospital. Well, maybe they do. But the one thing they definitely get in hospital is they're getting tested continually, because the NHS hospitals are obsessed about testing. And so if you test, further to what Ed said earlier, actually, before Boris had to phone him, the tests themselves are far from reliable. So we just can't trust anything we're told. But anyway, never mind all that. Listen, guys, I said to, we've got a caller coming in. This is exciting. Fed Up With The Bull is calling in. So we're going to have someone join us, guys, in a second. And then we're going to open this up to all your topics. Right, here we have our caller winner. Hello there, good evening.
Evening, gents. How are we all? Everybody, Merry Christmas and all that nonsense.
Good evening.
Hello.
I know that voice.
I recognize.
Yeah. I think that might be Adrian.
It is indeed.
Good evening, mate.
So, Adrian, how are you enjoying all the new restrictions brought in here? Last night, I think it was yesterday.
Honestly, I'm living my life as normal. I had my dog at the vet last night. The lady asked me to put a mask on. I said no. She asked me, was I exempt? I said no. I just went and sat down. Nice. And you'd have thought I just stole £1 million off her. She didn't know what to do. But anyway.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
It was a point about what Ed had said earlier about the media gaslighting. The media have been gaslighting from day one on this. You know, it's all cases, you know, and then a wee small writing at the bottom of the screen, you know, has tested positive within 28 days. The media are as culpable as the politicians and everybody else.
Yeah, you know, agreed. In actual fact, I put up a post on my Facebook there, Adrian, earlier this evening, saying I couldn't make up which group I hated the most. Is it the politicians who implement this? Is it the medical advisors who tell them what to do? Or is it the media who then spread and fan the fears? Because they've been spreading the fear since March 2020, haven't they? Like on a off the Richter scale level, I think.
Well, totally. You know, the media, the politicians, they're all in bed together. You know, the media use the politicians as and when it suits them. Our ministers, you know, what are our medical professionals doing? Any doctor who has any sense of common morality has been silenced. They have lost jobs because they have said this is not suitable, this is not the best treatment.
Yeah.
They're all culpable in many, many ways.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You are right. They are all culpable. But I mean, with that in mind, Ed, just checking, are you there, Ed?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
I was just checking. I mean, you heard what Adrian had to say there about the gaslighting that you brought up as well. And that's been the thing that's enabled so much of this to get out, for them to get it away, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So, and already the fight back from particularly the left-wing media against the mild Omicron announcement has started. So The Guardian today: don't dismiss Omicron as mild. Take it from a COVID long hauler. It's talking about death. It's talking about long COVID. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, we've had, what, for many who live cowering in fear, would have been good news. And immediately the media is, oh, no, no, don't think it's, you know, and are coming out with headlines to say, and maybe that's where they will now go. They'll start switching to long COVID and things like that. I don't know. But it's an appalling piece. I mean, you read it and it's full of absolute assumptions. It's talking about this is, it's 30% of people will have a lifelong and life-threatening long COVID. Well, how do they know it's lifelong? I mean, it seems to have been around for 2 years. So, the media is absolutely abhorrent on this. It really is. It's appalling. It really is appalling.
I think Ed, and Adrian, several years ago, Ed and I set up Alt News Media because we believed and still believe that, that the media couldn't be trusted. But even then, Ed, I never believed the media would be as bad, as absolutely rotten and corrupted as they transparently are. You know, I have to put my hands up and I thought they were bad, but they're way, way worse than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can I just read you this paragraph from The Guardian? So the mild theme was an opportunity for dog whistlers who dog whistle about herd immunity, the bot-fueled and misguided notion embraced by some of the forces that also promote climate science denial. it's unbelievable. It read to me like a comedy piece, but they're deadly serious.
Yeah.
So we're all bots and, misguided trolls and all the rest of it, if we say it's mild.
Yeah.
But you're always a bot when you disagree with the left. If you disagree with the left, they call you a bot and a bigot and all the rest, and an idiot like Tony Blair. Yeah. Tony Blair sits there and calls people idiots when he's killed tens of thousands in Iraq.
Oh, he should be lying
to the public.
Well, it's more than that, though, Jed, isn't it? Because Tony Blair is the person that probably started the complete undermining of trust in politicians. I would say Blair is probably responsible for the chasm now between the public and politicians, because the trust, he betrayed, the age of spin with Alistair Campbell and everything. We lost that trust and respect that if some of us had for politicians under Blair. And so to then say, so when the government is telling people to take the vaccine and people don't trust the government, who's to blame for that? Tony Blair and Alistair Campbell and the rest, and their appalling government.
I think it's deeper than that, though, Ed. Like you said, you read that paragraph and they put it, they condemn themselves quite well in that paragraph. The people who dismiss the COVID stuff are the same people who dismiss the climate change stuff, because the climate change science is false. It's fake science. It's bullcrap. It's been proven bullcrap, and they've been shoving that down our throats since the 80s. So it's like, the reality, the difference between what they say is science and what real science is just insane, because what they are calling science is propaganda.
Yeah, I agree.
The science changes on a daily basis depending on what's happening. There's been no, from what I understand, there's been no ability for other scientists across the world to take data, replicate it to see if they get the same results. They just change the data, change the message depending on what way
Adrian, if you do that, if you do an honest test here and you come up with data that's different than what they're touting, not only do you, if you do talk about it, you lose your job, your grants, your association, you're banned from social media, the TV, everything.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's Dr. Robert Malone has been denied access to the New England Journal of Medicine. We have Dan Erickson. We have Judy Mikovits, PhD, who came out and spilled a lot of dirt on Fauci and the things that they have done in the past. And they have all been systematically targeted and removed so they cannot give a different point of view to the mainstream narrative.
I wonder what we all thought of Dr. Fauci, the esteemed Dr. Fauci, telling people in the States, Patty, I believe, don't have the unvaccinated round for Christmas. Did you hear that, Patty? That was Fauci's Christmas message. Don't have the
And he said it within an hour of Biden saying, oh, yeah, everybody can come to your Christmas dinner. So imagine. So the mixed messaging, they can't even get their panic messaging correct. Now, if you go to a Tangled Web, I think last Friday, there's a nice little piece there that I did on Fauci. It's only 5 minutes long. It's worth the listen to. But it's like, this guy's been a kook since the back in the days of AIDS. You know, he said masks were going to protect you from AIDS. A little bit geography. He's got to get his body parts straight there.
It depends where you were them, I suppose. Yeah, but carry on. Yeah. Yeah.
He also said in 1984 that you could catch AIDS just by standing beside someone. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the science said. It's the science.
Yeah. But Fauci has a long and disgraceful track record, going right back to the '80s. Absolutely right, and that's kind of been sort of sanitized. So we're, you know, so he's healed. He's a great guy. Hello, Stevie McIntosh, by the way, for joining the stream. Good to see you here, guys. But yeah, so Fauci. So you wouldn't be taking Fauci's advice then, Patty?
I wouldn't take Fauci's advice if he was telling me how to cut a hangnail. This guy's a bureaucrat who's making $400,000 a year, has never worked a day in his life for anybody but the government. This guy, yeah, okay, he's got a medical degree. And this guy is a bureaucrat. He's a pencil pusher. He's not a doctor. He wouldn't know what where to stick the stethoscope on a patient.
We can all agree on that. Okay, right, guys. I asked you guys to bring along a topic or so each, so we can. It's not just what I want to talk about; it's what everyone wants to talk about here in the stream. So, Ed, can we kick off with you? What would you like us to cover here on the stream?
Yeah, to be honest with you, because it's the last one before Christmas and everything. I was just reflecting on 2021. You know, as a bit of a wrap up to the end of the year and all the rest of it. And I'll be honest with you, I was thinking about what had happened, and it's hard to distinguish 2021 from 2020, isn't it? It's all kind of merged into one the last 2 years. But I thought, you know, just an opportunity to sort of tip our hat at a few people and events and things like that. You know, so, you know, we lost Prince Philip, didn't we? Somebody who I quite liked in 2021. So I thought we could just give him a bit of a mention. And then people like David Hamer as well. David Hamer in Southend killed, who, for some bizarre reason, you know, the media completely seems to have forgotten that a crazed jihadi killed him. And then, of course, closer to home for me in Liverpool, we've completely forgotten the fact that only a couple of months ago we had a maternity ward tried to be blown up by a crazed jihadi, and nobody seems interested in that fact. You know, who was the guy working with? Who else knew about it? There's complete and utter disinterest. So yeah, I just wondered what you guys thought. I struggled to make anything of 2021. It was a very nothing year for me in terms of it just merged into the same sort of black hole as 2020, which is why I think we've all collectively got to make sure 2022 is just not more of the same, which I think if they can make it so, they will do. We just can't let that happen.
Well, Jed, what's your thoughts about 21?
It's been a disaster generated by, I think, three people and the media, generated by Boris the Clown, witty Dr. Evil, and Valance, the clown in the corner. And I think it's appalling. And Sunday has to pay the price. Sunday has to pay the piper for what they've done. You know, we can't, all the, for the past, since 2016, actually, since the referendum, what we've had is politicians lying to us, barefaced lying, and deliberately trying to prevent something that the people voted for, or with this one where the people actually, they were quite happy to go, okay, what we'll do is we'll modify our own life. But no, the government had to step in. So somebody has to pay for this. And we can't keep letting politicians off the hook and the media off the hook for deliberately terrifying 67 million Brits to the point that we now have the vaccinated wanting the unvaccinated punished and separated in society. Now, I remember, not that I'm that old, but I know my history. I remember that happening not so long ago where they otherized a group of people. And they otherized them and said, no, you can't get on the same bus as us. You can't go to the same shops as us, or at least while we're in the shops. You can only go to the shops at 5 o'clock or after 5 o'clock. And then they went, but it's still, you can't run a business. You're not allowed to run a business. And then when they couldn't run businesses, you can't live in that house because that house is actually, and I'll now refer to what I'm talking about, that's a German's house. You've got to live in a ghetto. Oh, the ghetto's not good enough for you. I tell you what, we've made a camp over there. And the next step after that is straight into the gas chamber. That is the problem, and that is the road we are going down with the media and the government pitching vaccinated against unvaccinated.
Well, Adrian, would you like to chip in on this one?
I totally agree. We see it now in everyday society where it's basically forced upon you. You know, you have to listen to the propaganda. You can't say anything against it. If you show any logical thinking towards the vaccine and how quick it was made and all the different statistics about injuries, you know, you're just laughed at. People think you're a conspiracy theorist, but everything that we have said has come true. So much so, I just start saying, oh, look, here's another spoiler alert, rather than conspiracy theory.
Well, that's right. That's one of my lines. Actually, I'm quite happy to be called a conspiracy theorist now. I don't care.
So am I, because when people say, referring back to Tony Blair, I say, well, here's a conspiracy theory. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Yep.
So if a government's willing to lie about that and the following actions that happened, you know, a million Iraqis lost their lives, thousands of countless military personnel killed, maimed, etc. Nothing's off the list for them to do, you know. And at the end of the day, we're just the serfs. We're the cannon fodder for those boys, and there'll always be somebody behind to fill our place for them.
I agree. Paddy, you want to comment on 2021?
20, I agree with Ed. 20 and 21 seems like just it's been one long year of hell and bull. It's just, this is just to say that now we got, the only thing good came out of 2021 was the socialist restructuring of the United States, the Build Back Better bill did not pass, but they still have another year to get that through. So, but you know, since the last 6 months of Trump to now has been one long nightmare of just hell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously things changed so much in the States over that period. Obviously the transition of the from the legitimate president to this illegitimate potato regime has been I would imagine very traumatic. But yet, Paddy, for all that, I still see there's lots of good resistance in the States in those Okay, everybody, so we had a technical problem there. I apologize profusely for that. I have no idea what happened, but we just all seemed to vanish. Did somebody say the wrong thing? Maybe Dr. Fauci was listening in and he didn't like what you guys were saying. So just wanting to check that everyone is able to join again. Adrian's coming back in. Jed's back in. Hopefully, Paddy and Ed will bring Ed's back in as well. Hi, Ed. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good evening, David.
They seem to shut us all down. We just vanished. What? Weird, weird. Anyway, if not Dr. Fauci, it's probably Chris Whitty, because these guys keep a tight eye on us, you know. Anyway, Leslie, good to see you all back again. Sorry about that one, folks. So many people were there too, swarming over the stream. But we just need Paddy to come back in. Don't know if you can contact him or not, Jed. His invite has been sent back to him. So hopefully...
I will, David. I'll send him a message.
If you can do that, yeah. But actually, Ed, just go on. I'll say that when you're talking about 2021, and I think we all agree that 2020, 2021 is one sustained long nightmare. The only thing that was positive, there were some positives though. Number one, ABBA released a new album in 2021. So I take comfort from that. That's good. After 40 years, I mean, what are you going to say? 40 years, you have to wait for another album. What were you doing? So that was a good thing. That was a positive. And the other positive is, on a serious note, I think so many people are now sufficiently red-pilled. They see the world exactly as it is. And that's good, believe it or not. It's bad because it's horrific what you see.
You took my next point there, David, actually. Just referring back to 2021.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was going to be the chance where people actually did wake up. Enough people woke up to say, hold on, this is absolute bull. You know, we can see it with the protests all across Europe that the media's gaslighting, they won't broadcast, they won't mention at all. But we're just not at the tipping point yet.
No.
But I think people are waking up, though, Adrian. I do think they're waking up, and I think Boris's parties have helped them wake up because they've gone, hang on a second. If the government are partying it up while we're stuck in our homes without our families, the British people, you see, will go along with lots of things without complaining. But when they see hypocrisy staring them in the face, that is when they go, hang on a second, dear sunshine. And I think, although they've been played down, and the media, some parts of the media want to beef it up and some parts wanted to play it down and the government wanted to play it down. And I think that's why Boris brought in these extra restrictions to try and hide the fight. I think that's when the British public went, no, 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 no. First of all, we're finding out from South Africa that this is just like a common cold. We're finding out that in the depths of everybody else's despair last year, this time last year, you were partying it up like it was, you know, 1984, to call a phrase, and a song from the Last Life podcast. But and I think the British public are waking up now, and I think if Boris tries to bring in any more restrictions between, before New Year or just after New Year, I think the British public will stick two fingers up.
I don't agree. I'd love to think that's correct, but I think we are still very... I think the French show us the way in terms of protesting and stuff, as embarrassing as that is to say. We are, just look at that last by-election a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, where there was a chance, wasn't there? And what did people do? They voted Liberal flipping Democrat, you know. And this is the problem. We I don't know. I don't think there's a mass will for actual change when it comes down to the crunch. Boris or whoever or Starmer will get voted in again and we'll just carry on as normal and not have that real root branch change that is absolutely needed. I mean, I'd go further. What I was reading there in the press, it's worse than that. They're inciting this, as you were talking about, Jed, this othering of people with the language about the unvaccinated and all the rest of it. And that, for me, is bordering on incitement. As much as attacking the free press has connotations, I'd like to see some of the press have consequences, because all the things they've been accusing the likes of Trump of, they are worse times a thousand. And, you know, they don't believe in liberty. They believe in demonising and othering people. And you just need to read that famous book, Ordinary Men, about how ordinary Germans just went along with the demonization of the Jews and ended up killing them without thinking. And this is human nature, and the media are partaking in that social engineering as we speak. And you know, we've got to do something about it as a society, but I just don't see the will amongst the masses yet, I'm afraid. I really don't. I don't know if you agree with me, David, but
Sadly, I do agree with you completely. I think that too many people are still asleep, and I don't know how they're waking up. I actually don't know how. I wish I could see a way that they do say to have a revolution, you have to have about 15% of the people on your side. I think we're about 10%, maybe 11%. So maybe we're not a million miles away from it, but we are still a distance from it, you know. And so I'm not overly enthused. And one of the things that's depressed me most, and actually, Adrian, you could come in on this one. Like what's depressed me most is here where I live, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, they brought in like COVID passports and toughened up the language and masks. And what did they all do? They all start wearing their masks again when there was at least some of us weren't wearing masks. And I look around at them, I just think all I see is sheep. Hey, Adrian, what do you think?
100%. I think some people do want to avoid confrontation, not to be asked, where's your mask? Put it on, instead of just standing up for themselves and saying, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not complying. Because every time we comply, the goalposts move.
Yeah.
You know, and when you explain that to people, they look at you. I have had numerous rows with family members where I have shown them like proper documentation where they just look at it and go, but I still need my booster, I can't go out. And you're like, what is it going to take? You know, just to go back, I think it was Jed said, you know, it didn't start with the gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media, controlling the message, deciding what truth is, censoring free speech, one party dividing citizens into us and them, and then calling on other people to harass them. You know, it starts when good people turn the blind eye. And that's where we're heading down at the moment.
Yeah, it does. And there's just doing that. And, you know, can I ask you, Paddy, across the pond again, like, you know, obviously you've got this great demarcation in the States between the relatively freer Republican states and the Democrat states. But I put it to you, one of the things that annoyed me was I heard Trump the other day saying, the vaccines, they're fantastic. He had his booster, him and Bill O'Reilly had their boosters and they were loving it. And the audience were booing him. He was getting booed because he was endorsing something that I think a lot of Americans don't want. They don't want this notion of, in fact, given the various reports, I would think they'd want to stay well away from the injectors. Did you see that? What did you think of Trump and his latest endorsement of the vaccines?
Well, there's a unique phenomenon here in the United States, especially when it comes to the vaccines, because what has happened is you're at a point now where if you're somebody like me, or if it just that speaks, you know, that just I'm just a little guy, but if you're even somebody like Sean Hannity, Donald Trump, anybody on Fox, anybody, if you're a public figure, if you're on the public airwaves and everything else, and you don't qualify, you don't feel you have to get the vaccine with, hey, I'm vaccinated, or it's this, it's that, then you are so dismissed and ridiculed and attacked that the message you're trying to get out and what you're trying to say is not allowed to be listened to. You're immediately put in this insanity category. So everybody now just qualifies it with, yeah, I'm vaccinated and I got this message, but I also caught COVID. And if I feel that if you don't want to get the vaccine, do it. But if you don't qualify that, you can't get to the second part of your conversation. So the right has given up even, you know, that's part of the stance. Yeah, you know, get the vaccine unless your doctor says otherwise, but you know, I'm not going to get it. I haven't gotten the vaccine. I caught COVID. I don't need the vaccine.
Well, that's right. You don't. I mean, but this is the great mystery of 2020 and 2021 is where has natural immunity gone? I mean, our body is the best natural defense we have. And
natural immunity is free, David.
That's it. Well, there you go.
That's the problem. Natural immunity is free.
Doesn't make money. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Report came out that 2/3 of the Senate and House represent the 2/3 of the Congress played games with the stock manipulation at the very beginning of all this with Pfizer and the other companies. It just came out, and that's they all either bought, traded, or sold. They all played with the stock before all this stuff came out, and it's all illegal except you're a member of Congress. It's not illegal.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Jed, What is it that you would like to talk about with us tonight? The floor is yours.
Oh, here we go. The pressure is on. I actually want to talk about what I think is a good news story, and that is, hopefully, the return of free speech with the massive victory of Henry Miller and in winning in the High Court or the Court of Appeal. So I thought it was absolutely brilliant that he decided to take Northampton Police Force to task over non-crime hate crime. Now, that is just a mind-blowing statement, non-crime hate crime. And he won. And he's won, I think. Since this has started, we've had something like 120,000 people who are now on this register. And it looks like now this register is going to have to be scrapped. That's 120,000 people that potentially could have been stopped having a job when they've had an advanced DBS check, which checks your criminal record. And to be on, have that against you, when one, you may not even know. Two, you've not even committed a crime and been cautioned or sentenced or punished for a crime. You know, it's absolutely bizarre. And I think actually, yesterday, I think it was, or the day before when the judgment came through, I thought it was a big kick in the teeth for the government, because they allowed this to happen, and two, against the police who think they can make up their own laws, because this was done by the College of Policing. This wasn't legislation passed by the government. It was a College of Policing who went, oh, well, if somebody takes offence, we'll call it a hate crime and we'll record that, and your name will be tarnished for up to 6 years with a hate crime that you have no control over. You can't redress. There is no evidence required even to question the person that reports a hate crime is a hate crime. Now, how logical is that? But I think this is a victory for free speech and the use of our courts in the correct way.
Good point. Ed?
Yeah, it was a good victory for Harry Miller and in court. I think it started, didn't he retweet something that was mocking Limerick, that was right. And yeah, I mean, Jeb made the point about the 120,000 people with these non-crime hate crimes marked against them that could come up in a search and potentially cost them getting a job, for example. So it is a good victory, but it also is alarming, just this huge overreach from obviously now left-wing infiltrated institutions to just control every aspect of everybody's life and mark people down as, you know, bad guys and good guys, you know, be it they've said the wrong thing, be it the wrong jab, whatever it might be. There's this absolute determination from the institutions and the left to split society into what they would say is, you know, good and bad. And we might say the same, but in reverse. But this is just, I guess, one battle in a much bigger war that's going on at the moment. But it is a victory, and we should be pleased and thankful for Harry Miller. I think he's an ex-policeman himself, isn't he? I think
he's a policeman. Adrian, had you followed that story?
Unfortunately, I hadn't. I hadn't seen that. But as I know now, free speech, free thought. Anybody that shows any kind of
philosophy. We've lost you, Adrian.
Sorry,
you're 16 million miles away from your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Never want to exaggerate, of course.
I think sorry, I got you out there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Yes, apologies for that. Any form of free speech, free thinking these days, you're demonized, so you're a racist, you're a xenophobe. Once you go against the mainstream narrative, they just target you on it.
You've faded away. Right, we're just going to put you on mute there for a second.
He said free speech and they shut him up.
say. Listen, it's okay to say, Paddy, I've got Anthony Fauci here with a gun at my head. So, I mean, come on. I have to respond to the circumstances in which I find myself. Yeah, I mean, that was a good victory. He actually didn't win, Jed, all the points, but he won most of them. And I know that was facilitated by the Free Speech Union, which is Toby Young and his gang. So that's that's good. And we
it's also prompted Priti Patel now to get involved and say to the police forces that these databases should be deleted. Now, I appreciate he didn't win on every point, but he won on the main point that what the police are doing is actually unlawful.
Yeah.
And that is the point. So if it's unlawful to record a hate crime and keep your record, then it must be unlawful for all 120,000 people, and therefore that database has to go.
Well, here's a quick question. When did it become a problem in society to not like somebody?
When society.
Why is it illegal or a problem to just dislike people? Or you know, when did that happen? You know, I must have missed that memo, you know, where you're not allowed to have a dispute with somebody or dislike them or call them, you know. It's the very fact this thing was in court, when you step back and think about it, is insanity. You know, how far were you fallen in the last however many years? It's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy, do you want to weigh in on that one?
I do and I don't. My idea of what you guys over there consider free speech and what I consider free speech are two, it's the difference between the game of football. You call football this, you know, kicking around a little white ball that you can only touch with your feet.
Yeah, because that is football, Paddy.
Yeah, no. And then we call football, a gridiron sport. But it's but here's the thing. Free speech is the most important aspect of human existence. Doesn't matter. It is. And the countries that control it more are the more you control the free speech, the more oppressive your country is. And most of the Western world is part of that group. I mean, you cannot say the things that I could say here, there, and stay on the air. And and here they're trying to do that here. But see, like I said, it always comes down to that one advantage. How far can you push before it gets violent? Because, you know, we're armed, you're not. But the thing is if you can't argue what the person in front of you is saying, if what the person is saying in front of you is stupid, explain and show that what they're saying is stupid. If you can't, you just dismissing a conspiracy, shows right there that you can't stand for your argument. You're the one who doesn't have the thing. And we got to start getting back to an honest conversation. Is when you control speech, there is no honesty in conversation, period.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, Paddy, seeing as how you've got the floor, and since I did say that you could open up on a topic that you wanted to discuss, what do you want to chat to us about?
You threw me for a loop with that. I didn't expect to actually pick a topic, but I do have one, and it's something that I wanted to share, an inside baseball thing with people who are not American. You're looking at the January 6th committee hearings. And basically the fourth impeachment of Donald Trump. And what you're seeing, besides all the horrendous other things that are going on, the one thing that this committee is in the process of doing is destroying executive privilege, which has existed since George Washington, where a president can ask somebody, doesn't have to be a member of government, it can be a member of government, it can be a member of state. The president can have a conversation with somebody and it's off the record, period. It can't be subpoenaed. It can't be, demanded to be heard by Congress or anybody else. If the president has a conversation with somebody and says, you know what, this is private between you and I, no law can breach that. Otherwise, you can't. And they're in the process of destroying that right now with this committee, with making criminal charges against Bannon, against Mark Meadows, against this. That's what they're destroying: executive privilege. That means from this point forward,
any president that asks anybody their honest opinion, that person is now going to hesitate in giving it. Because if I don't, if I don't say something that's politically correct or that might be, you know, a little controversial, I could be wind up before a committee and go to jail because they want to stick Bannon and Meadows in jail for, you know, for giving a point of view for private conversations. And that's what they're destroying with this. So that this point forward, no president, Democrat or Republican, nobody who they ask a question to, now they have to put layover in their mind. What I answer him could be subpoenaed and I could go to jail. So I better be real careful. I can't give them my honest opinion. And that is the thing that most people outside this country don't understand. And a lot of people inside this country don't understand. If the president can't ask freely for honest advice from other people and get a straight, honest answer without them worrying about going to jail if they say something that might be, if it was heard in by the president, oh, he said that? Oh, my God. You know, that really destroys a lot of things. It's going to lead to problems.
Ed, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I'm normally really close to what's going on in the States. And I must admit, over the last couple of months, I haven't been, with just various other things I've got going on. And that, I didn't actually realise the full extent of that and the potential harm. It doesn't surprise me because there's this demented, what is seen as a power grab, isn't it? It's this authoritarianism of the left, where they think all these things that they bring in will benefit them and aren't clever enough to realise that at some point in the future it might be used against them. But what I have to say is the left loves stuff like this and the right tends not to go down these sort of paths and probably wouldn't use them. I don't know. But no, it's interesting, if sadly unsurprising. And, you know, I just cannot believe there are still people sat rotting in jail cells after that January the 6th event that, you know, was portrayed as World War III and in reality was...
This is such
a night out in Liverpool.
this is such a violation of our civil rights, Ed. This is ridiculous. It's unbelievable. And what really scares, you know, this scares me and shocks me. Like, thank God I'm a minor voice on the internet, because I was there January 6th. I wasn't stupid enough to go into the Capitol because I, you know, I'm former military and, you know, and with my family background, I know you trespass on federal grounds. You could be shot on site. There's signs everywhere. So it's like, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't go to, but I was there January 6th. And I, like I said, and I'm surprised that, you know, that, and gratefully so, that nobody's come knocking at my door. But it's like, because, you know, the civil rights violations that they've gone through with this, there was 535 riots that year. Only one of them is having a hearing about, because the other 534 were conducted by Antifa and BLM at the behest of the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
Spot on.
Yeah, well said, Paddy. Very, very well said. And it is a great concern, you know. But the only thing I hope, you know, for 2022 is you've obviously got the midterms, and that's a chance to take back the lower house, and in the process of doing that, start to perhaps reverse some of the incredible damage the Democrats are causing.
The next 6 months is going to be the most dangerous 6 months United States. Now, this may sound like an exaggeration, and I hope to God it is. But the next 6 months could be the most damaging to the American society, American system, than any point in our history. Because for the next 6 months, they're going to try to piecemeal this Build Back Better through. This Build Back Better through puts voting in complete control of the federal government. It puts by the end of 10 years, it bans the use of the gasoline engine for private use. And it makes the price of gasoline to the point where if you have a vehicle that they couldn't force out of your hands, too expensive to operate. While at the same time, they're going to they're trying their best to legalize the over 10 million illegals that they've allowed pour into this country in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I know. It's a difficult situation. Okay, well, listen, guys, we've come to the end of our allocated time.
Way too quick, David. Way too quick.
Well, maybe we can let it run on for a few minutes.
I do have another story to keep us going, David, which I thought very funny today.
You just keep it going, Jed.
Right, okay. Well, I'll keep it going. Here we go. So, transgender man who gave birth to his son criticized medical staff for calling him mother and claims that it is important to stop automatically linking pregnancy to being a woman. Now, I'm sorry, but what a clown. Do we really do live in this stupid, stupid clown world that where only a woman has a cervix, only a woman has a womb, yet the left want us to dispel all reality and say that that person over there that's having a baby is a man. And I'm sorry. I can't do that. And that leads into this second story. They're both linked. And I'm sorry, David, to harp on. But I have a story here. A trans woman has been jailed for 20 months after taking cocaine and having sex with a dog. A trans woman. The guy has got 5 o'clock shadow. He's got a better shadow than I've got, and I've not shaved for 2 days. What world do we live in?
As Grantonio says, that's cause for thought.
PM. Hey, the mom!
but it's clown war. I mean, it is clown. Absolutely. Adrian, any thoughts on that one?
Adrian bailed off, it looks like, David.
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts. Well, I mean, you know, we are the way we're pandering to sort of trannies and all these oddballs, and it's unbelievable. I mean, they were talking about, and I think this has been stopped at this point, but legally changing birth certificates to reflect chosen gender. Now, you think this through logically. So does that mean that women and I apologize, this is genuine, I can never remember if it's trans men or trans women, which way round you'd meant to say it, but anyway, does this mean that women are going to get called for prostate examinations, or men are going to get missed for prostate examinations and get called for there's a whole medical minefield. The answer to that incredibly is yes, because the NHS are playing along to this insanity. So it's gonna cost people's lives.
Unintended consequences are always the ones that kill, that get you.
Darwin is at work. But yeah, it's incredible. You know, the way these oddballs are dictating so much of the narrative, and I'm not sorry. But
I thought I'd get everybody a bit wound up.
Yeah,
I've got to just say, you know what? Get back in your box now. You've gone too far. You know, if you want to do what you want to do, do whatever you want to do. But enough is enough.
Yeah. It is actually, it is on a serious level. It is the inversion of reality. And they know that. And Ed, your point's a good one. The NHS go along with it as well. And I think they have been instructed not to use certain words.
Yeah, chest feeding, yeah.
Yeah, you were chest feeding being one. Yeah, even I think a word like mother becomes controversial. You know, birth parent and all of this here. So this is actually it's really toxic. You know, it's a real assault. And yet, if you challenge these people, you know, if you do that on Twitter or some of the other platforms, you're going to be banned. You're going to be taken down. Real Surreal makes a very good point. They're trying to normalize paedophilia. They absolutely are 100% behind that one. And Richie, yep. I agree with you. We're being primed for transhumanism. I think that as well. Yes, Leslie Butler, chest feeding. This is stupid. It's really stupid. Anyway, Jay, that was a good
one. You see, that ties in with the free speech thing. And I think that's why it was a win, because it was Henry Miller or whatever his name is. Harry Miller. It was him who reposted that limerick, and it was classed as transgenderism. Now, the point, transphobic, sorry. And the point is, that is a win. So now you can post what you believe is reality. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. Yeah. And if you want to wear a frock, you're a transvestite. And if you want whatever the opposite is, if a woman wants to wear a man's suit, whatever that is, I don't know what that one's called. But you can now, in theory, you can now say that without the thought police coming to your door and saying, I want to check your thinking. Because if they come to your door now and say, I want to check your thinking, then that is a hate crime.
Yeah, well, I remember that whole thing that happened with Harry Miller, because that was back when I was on Twitter. And I remember he spoke with me within about a day or two of it happening. But he was still in a state of shock, actually. He couldn't quite believe, even though he is police background, what had happened to him. So I think, Jed, you're right. I think, you know, there's a lot of, it's too easy to be too negative. I think we have to find, even if they're only small wins, we have to sort of bank them and say, good, and take a moment, and then we move on to the next one. You know, other than that, I think it's just too depressing and the blackness is too great. So, you know, and sometimes I'm guilty now. I am, put my hand up, I can be guilty of the blackness too. But, and I'm not being racist when I say that, by the way, for those liberals.
Well, I've just got one last slightly amusing thought, yeah, that we could end with. So, as we know, wannabe little tinpot dictator Drakeford was delighting in all his rule of six measures and all the rest of it. Was it yesterday or the day before for Wales? And yeah, one of the things that they brought in recently in Wales was you can be fined for going to work.
That's right.
You know, not bizarrely, not fine for going to the pub, but fine for going to work, which, you know, just about sums up Wales, doesn't it? But I thought what would be quite nice is, I'm pretty sure Mark Drakeford could do his podium speech from home on Zoom. So did he need to go into work? Could he not? Should he be getting a £10,000 fine? Should we be asking that question? Should we be getting a petition and get Mr. Drakeford fined for £10,000 for doing his delivery not from home on Zoom, which he could?
Here, here.
Going into the office.
Spot on there, Ed. Spot on.
Yeah. Listen,
well,
guys,
this is I'm saying it as a joke, but it's to highlight the absolute madness and insanity of it all.
But,
isn't it?
But it's, well, not of course, a joke. Here's the thing: is if you're going to fine me $10,000 because I'm going to go in and hammer nails, some politician can go into work and make a speech, and he's fine because he's above the law. This two tier law system is not fine, and it's everywhere. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Okay, well, listen, guys, this time we are coming to an end. I've got something I want to end with, though, because I wanted to end with a good news story as well. So here's my good news story, right? So I saw this on the Twitter Hellhole channel. It's Conservative MP, I think he's called Tom Tugendhat. Anyway, something like that. Anyway, he says, can you help? Someone has stolen the leads to the generator off the vaccination centre on Sovereign Way at Tonbridge. We need to replace them urgently. If you think you can help me, please email. Lols. You want to see some of the replies in that one there. Whoever, so not that I would encourage any degree of criminality, naturally, but my first reaction was to have a good chuckle, and possibly whoever did that, well done. Compliments of the to you. Leslie Butler confesses it was her. On that note, from all of our guests here, Jed, to Ed, to Adrian, to Paddy, City Troll, I want to thank everyone so much for all the contributions and giving up your time to be here on a Thursday night. We've definitely got a thing going here on a Thursday night. We've got lots of really great engagement, so that's fantastic. Remember, folks, you make the show as much as any of the rest of us. So all that remains for me to do is wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, and we shall reconvene when we get an opportunity. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to be. The podcast will keep going out, so, you know, we just never give up on that there. We're going to keep making liberals weep. So, yeah, that's it, folks. So, again, very happy Christmas to you all, and thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.